sing a hymn that says, Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee. Felt that way this morning as I looked from the congregation singing the hymns that we sang. It is a delightful thing to see as many as we see out this morning gathering here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And you're an encouragement to one another, an encouragement to me. It'd be a mighty lonely place if we came here to preach and there wasn't anybody in the seats to preach to. We know that the scripture says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? And we're thankful that the Lord, I believe, has worked in your hearts, and I hope and pray in my heart to cause us to desire these things and come out today in order to hear from his word. And it's so vitally important for us as his children in this old dark and cold world that we have the good news, the message of the gospel, as a reality in our lives and in our thoughts and in our hearts. And not only this morning on Sunday morning, but as a reality this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow and every day that we live, as it becomes the gospel, that our conversation is that which becomes the gospel, that is our lifestyle becomes the gospel. I believe that's what the Lord is talking about, or the apostle is talking about when he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God, and he says to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I believe it means our walk and our lifestyle becomes in line with the teachings of God's word. And we know that that's something you grow in. You don't just come and get one dose of that and have a sufficient amount for the rest of your life. As a matter of fact, it's something you need to not only hear, but continue to hear, continue to remember. So much of what we get at church is not stuff you didn't know. It's stuff that you used to know, or you remember what you were taught, remember where you should be, and remind you again that he writes in one place that your pure mind might be stirred up by way of remembrance. And so the little child of God needs their pure mind stirred up by way of remembrance, so that we would live in a way more honoring God and honoring our Lord, which is the only and the best way for us to live. With all that said, I ask for your prayers this morning as we look at a portion of Scripture together. If you had been in my house earlier this today, you would have seen a minister scratching through the book and praying and scratching and praying, and have had many thoughts and feel like a verse would come and say, oh, I believe that's it, and start digging into that a little more, just stir up some thoughts that we had, and then feel that kind of go cold and lead somewhere else. And then at times feeling like, do I have a thing? And knowing there were some folks coming that were going to be here and had anticipation of others being here. And I'll tell you, it's a burden for me as a pastor that you are fed. I believe it's a responsibility I have been given, not by my choice, but by God's calling, to feed those that would gather. And that it is my duty and responsibility to do it in a way that all the honor and glory would belong to the Lord. So that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, certainly not in my puny wisdom, but in the power of Almighty God. And we have a powerful God. We have a God who made the heavens and the earth, created all that therein is, and it's by his power it consists. And if we come together as a brethren looking to the Lord today and asking him, we'll receive from him what we need. And he has so designed his church that he provides us the ministry, ministers, to preach and teach. And he's chosen the foolishness of preaching, that is, not foolish preaching, but what the world would consider to be foolishness, to save them, that is, deliver them, enlighten them that believe. And those that believe are his children, that he's given the ability to believe, the things necessary for belief, which faith is absolutely necessary for belief, because without faith, you can't believe. And faith is the gift of God, and that comes from the Spirit of God. So we ultimately and completely today are dependent upon the Lord. We're dependent upon Him for everything. And so you pray for me. And I pray that you've come as much wanting to be fed as I've come hoping and praying you, Lord, will provide something to feed you with. And if that be the case, He said, ask and you shall find. Seek and you shall find. Ask. And He'll answer. I'm not getting all of that, but knock and He'll open it unto you. God, when we ask for a good thing, He's not going to give us a stone or something not good for us. He'll supply what we need. Now, sometimes that may mean we just be still and quiet before Him in a meeting and realize, well, if the Lord isn't there to bless our preacher can't preach. Now, that's hard for the preacher, but it's good for the congregation. Because the preacher goes away going, phew, is anybody going to even come back next week? And if they didn't, you wouldn't blame them. But I'm telling you, I need the Lord. I hope and want you to understand. I want you to know that. I need Him. I need Him to stir up the study, the time that's been spent in His Word, that's all come by His grace and His power and His unction. Give Him the glory for that. But that will not mean a thing if the Lord doesn't bless us with liberty. And you pray that He would do that so that we'd be fed. And we've got some things to face this week. We've got a world in trouble. Y'all know that. We've got perilous times we're living in. We've got decisions that are going to need to be made. We've got issues that's going to arise. If the world stands, we know that it's an untoward generation. And it's going contrary to the will and the way of God. One hymn writer said, the world is not the friend of grace to lead us on to God. It's contrary. It's contrary to us. And so we need God's Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path and a foundation for our living and a foundation for our decisions. And that takes the Lord. And wonderful good news is the Lord's able. He's capable. And we don't know His will, but we know He's able. And whether He does, we can say with Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Let us say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Give Him the praise today. If I don't say any more, that's okay. Because I've said this, I'm nothing, He's everything. And you and I are nothing, and He's everything. And if He's everything, that's in Him, we have all we need. In us, we don't have a thing. And that's the kind of God we serve. I'd like to read to you from the book of Ecclesiastes today, the writings of the wise man Solomon, who was wise because he begged God for wisdom. And God answered his prayer. Not only with wisdom, but with riches and with the position that He placed him in. And Solomon begged and prayed unto the Lord that he might have a wisdom to be able to go in and out among such a great people as the people of Israel and to be of service to them and a benefit to them. And the Lord supplied that wisdom to Solomon. It's a wonderful thing to sit down and read the Proverbs that are written by Solomon by inspiration of God. And just, you sit down and read through the book. You better get ready though when you read through the book of Proverbs, because it will reach right into your life. It'll rebuke you. It'll reprove you. It'll correct you. You'll feel pretty good maybe when you start, but by the time you get into it very far, you'll realize, oh my, it'll bring you down and lift you up. It will cause you to see how far you are removed in yourself from where you ought to be. But what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. And how in the wisdom, and that is above all things, let us seek after that wisdom that cometh down from above. Let us search after it. It's more important than the gold and the silver or anything else of this world. And let us learn from those wonderful Proverbs. Well, he writes here in verse 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. We want to recognize that every verse in the Bible is part of God's inspired word, that which He has given to us to furnish us truly unto all good works. Today, if we're going to speak anything that's wise, if we're going to bring any wisdom today before you, if we're going to share with you any wisdom, it's going to be found in and recorded in the Word of God. We're to preach the Word. The minister that's called to preach is called of God to preach, but he's not called to just preach anything. He's to preach the Word. We know that the Bible says to preach the Word and be instant. That means ready. In season or out of season. That preaching of the Word that we reprove and we rebuke and we exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. That means we are to use the Bible for our guide. Today we're not here to talk about our opinion. We're not here to talk about our thoughts about things. We're not here to kind of come together and agree on what is right and what is wrong. And what used to be wrong yesterday, we can say is right today. Or what used to be right yesterday is now wrong today. If we're going to be where we ought to be as God's little children, we'll understand that the Lord gave us in His Word a truth that is an absolute truth that is not subject to our opinion or our acceptance or rejection of that to make it truth or not truth. But His Word is the truth, and if we're going to be walking in the truth, we're going to have to walk according to His Word. And so whether I like it or whether you like it, I believe we ought to like it. But there are sometimes I read it and I really wish that didn't, you know, that part about turning the other cheek sometimes according to my nature is not something I like to turn His other cheek rather than turn mine. But the Scripture tells us that we are to follow as Jesus has taught us. Not how I think, not how you think, not how I believe, not how you believe, but rather to line up our way of thinking to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, that's changed in accordance with His Word, by the renewing of your minds. I need my mind renewed today. I need to line up with His words. The preacher says, because the preacher was wise. Now, why was Solomon wise? Because God gave him wisdom. There are times that like this morning, I was feeling like, oh, I want that wisdom. I said, I want to be able to know what the brethren need so that when I come, I can preach what they need. I want to know what they need to hear. Now, I always know this. We always need to hear about Jesus. We always need to hear that of His death and His burial and His resurrection. Listen, without Jesus, we are nothing. It is His choice of us. It is He who has chosen us. We did not choose Him. It is He who came to die for us and paid the sin debt. He did that completely, and we have an assurance as His children of being with Him in glory because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hear that each and every time. And I come many times, though, wondering, where, Lord, should I speak? What should I say? And don't we get in trouble when we don't know what to say and we just say something because we don't know what to say? You ever been in a place where you didn't know what to say, so you just couldn't stand the dead air and had to throw in something? You know, I remember, and I mentioned this recently, but I remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Brother Peter was just so enthused with everything that he had seen. There he'd seen Jesus glistering and His raiment changed and glorified before them. And what a day that would have been. That'd been something, wouldn't it, to see Jesus. And then he saw Elijah and Moses. And they had come and were conversing with the Lord. And Peter seeing all this and getting excited about all that he was seeing and hearing. And certainly we'd have been right there with him. He didn't know what to say, so he just said something. And he said, oh, it's good to be here. Well, he was okay with that. It was good to be here. But then he said, let us build three tabernacles. We're going to build one to you, Jesus. So then we're going to build one to Moses, and then we're going to build one to Elijah. Didn't sound too bad to him. He thought, you know, this is something. I see Moses. He's looking good. I see Elijah. See, Moses is dead, but he's not dead. Isn't it good that we have a God of the living? Isn't that wonderful? Our loved ones who've left this world, like Moses had left this world, they're not somewhere out of existence, out of place. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we have evidence of that in Moses. His body was somewhere on this earth. They don't know where it's at. The Lord buried Moses. Lord knows where he's at. One day he's coming again, and he's going to raise that body. And he's going to change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and there will be that gathering of the body, soul, and spirit. Elijah was in his body because he had been a picture of what's going to happen when the Lord comes for those who are alive and remain. He's already got Elijah, who has been translated, carried out of this world, and carried into heaven. And there they were. And Peter and James and John seeing those things and recognizing that, Peter said, you know, let's just build three tabernacles. The only thing is, Moses would have never been in heaven based on Moses. He'd still, his body, he as well as us and everyone else would have received the wages of sin, which is death, which is eternal separation from God and a place of torment without end, and there would have been no hope for Moses except for the Jesus, who was the only one who deserved a tabernacle. Let us build three tabernacles. And there was a voice from heaven. I'll guarantee you that got your attention. Brethren, when God speaks, we ought to listen, right? This is the word of God before us. There was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." In other words, it isn't Moses. Moses' words were no better than that which was given to him by inspiration of God. And Elijah's, as a prophet, had no power. Elijah was a powerful prophet that called fire down from heaven, and God blessed him with so much there as in the Old Testament we read of the life of the prophet Elijah. I love to read about it. But I'll tell you, that same Elijah, when a Jezebel came after him outside of the power of God, ran like a little scared rabbit from that woman who says, "I'm coming to get you." Same prophet who stood before the prophets of Baal and had stood strong and just made fun of them. In the power of God, he stood strong. But I'm telling you, outside of that power, where was he? He was just shaken and scared. So he didn't deserve a tabernacle. And we don't deserve a tabernacle. I'm telling you, there is one who does, and that is the one who has it. "This is my beloved Son, Jesus. Hear ye him." So we want to be careful. There are some things that might sound good from the pulpit, but they stink because they're not the truth. And they may seem sweet, but they'll make you sick later. They may seem really pleasant and may tickle your ear. We know we're living in a day and age when men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, because rather than hearing the truth, and there's an offense that's in the gospel. You know, when you tell folks that you're rotten and no good, and that your parents were rotten and no good, and your grandparents, boy, you've offended me, you're saying that. Listen, we all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us are good? The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. There's only one that we can depend upon and trust in, and our hope and our salvation is in him. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to be faithful to the word today, there won't be any tabernacles built here, and there won't be any honor given to anyone here but to the Lord. That doesn't mean we can't be thankful for God's children. I'm thankful for you this morning. I'm thankful that you're sitting in the bench. I'm thankful for our relationship in the Lord. I'm thankful to have brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for the dear old brethren in the past that have been like fathers and mothers to me in Israel, that I felt like have helped me along so much in this old world. I'm thankful for the dear brethren that I have in the ministry, that some of them gone home to be with the Lord. And I'm thankful for all the fellowship that I have in this world. But I'm telling you, we'd have none of that. You would have none of that in your life were it not for that one, "Here is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." And that's the wisdom that's from above. That's the wisdom we need to see. He says, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. I want to say to you today, that verse fits every verse in the Bible. Everything in the Bible. You want good heed? You want good direction? You want good instruction? You want to know how to live and walk and talk and behave in this world in a way to honor and glorify God? This book is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path, and we are to seek out these wholesome words. And if we go anywhere but with these words, then we, according to the Apostle Paul, we should be, if any man preaches anything other than Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. He said, if I or an angel of heaven would preach anything but that. He gave good heed, and he sought out and set in order many proverbs. This verse always, it came to my mind very strongly this morning. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that word acceptable here, if you look at the root of it and study it a little bit, it means words of delight. Words of delight. Words of excitement. Words that encourage you. Words that strengthen you. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. He wanted words that were acceptable. Number one, acceptable to the Lord. And those words that are acceptable to the Lord or that are pleasing to God are going to be beneficial to the Lord's people. If I'm going to preach today to be a benefit to you, I have to preach the word. I have to preach the truth. I can't just preach what we want to hear or think we need. I have to look to the Lord and lean upon the Lord, first of all, in order to preach and have the wisdom to preach. It has to come from God. So we need to, a man needs to be first called to preach, and that is given the burden and the unction from the Lord, and then he needs to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It isn't about just standing before God's people, and as some people have thought in the past, that you just stand up here and it's like a big funnel that's in the top of your head, and then the Lord just pours that in and you just pour it right out. No, but I'm telling you this, you can study, and you are to study and search. It takes the Lord then to give you the ability to preach in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God, so that the congregation not only hears the words. You know, I've heard sometimes discourses that were, the words were all just there. And the truth was being presented. But it was laid out in such a way and manner and was given in such a manner that it was like it's right, but I don't know how best way to put this. I don't want to get mystical on it, but I'm going to tell you, when I hear preaching, I want to feel preaching. I don't want to just hear it. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I when I'm sitting in a congregation, it's like when you sing Amazing Grace and you can't really feel it. You know the words are sound and they're true, but you're just singing it kind of like maybe you're singing Home on the Range or something like that. Listen, Amazing Grace ought not be sung that way. And when I'm preaching about Jesus Christ, my Lord, and I'm giving, and I am declaring what He has done for us, and talking to God's children from His Word, it ought to be, we need to feel the Spirit of Almighty God moving in the hearts of the Lord's people. And that is something special that occurs when true preaching is happening. And the other is just a lecture series that leaves you maybe heady and high-minded. It'll make a good Pharisee out of you. But I'll tell you what preaching does. It'll humble you. It'll humble the preacher. Scare him to death sometimes. There have been times I've been in the stand and have a passage of scripture and think I have some understanding about it and feel like I really have some clarity of thought about that verse, almost to the point you get arrogant enough to think I know all it's talking about. And then as you're in the stand, the Lord give you something you hadn't. Oh, I love it when that happens. When the Lord gives you something you hadn't even thought about before. And it's so clear and so plain. Have you been there? Study. You may not have been in the stand, but sitting at the church and on a passage of scripture and a preacher getting in the stand, you go like, well, you know, I've heard that. Maybe the 23rd Psalm. I've heard that so many times. What's this brother going to say about that we don't already know? I'm telling you, and then the Lord just opened up something you've never seen and a clarity that you've never seen it with and just cause you to just get excited. Isn't it good to get excited as you did the very first time you ever really heard it? It ought to be getting better with you, brethren. the things you hear, just the same old things. You know, it's kind of like they say in education, reading, to read a book. And a lot of people say, you know, they say, how often should you read? Well, you ought to read every day. And they say, wow, once you've read. Well, you eat every day, don't you? You know, I haven't eaten pizza in my life just one time, and that was enough. I kind of like pizza, so I came back and eat some more pizza. As you can see, too much pizza. That's not good for you. But I'm telling you, spiritual food, that spiritual nourishment, I need the milk of the Word, don't you? I need to drink the milk of the Word. I need to hear about his predestination and his election and his choice of his people and his justification of them on the cross and his glorification of them and his calling of them. He's going to do all of that. I need to hear about the surety of our eternal salvation. And then I need a little meat along the way. We need to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And that is the instruction on how we live here in this world to honor him. And you got to have the milk though to get you right on the meat, because if you think that you can do the work of living duty, follow the duty on your own, that gets to be legalism. Listen, in order for me to live right, I got to look to the same Lord who saved me. If I'm going to act right and talk right, the strength that came in my salvation has supplied a sufficiency for me to live and act in a way, and that glory then doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the Lord. You see, you got to understand that grace is not only eternal, but grace and time is also necessary. You need grace every day to be the mama, the daddy, the grandmama. Whatever your situation or your calling is, you need the grace of God to be the husband, the wife, the daughter, whomever it is, whatever it is that God's called you to be in this world. Isn't it good to know God's big enough to give you that? I look back on the, and I thought one time when I was younger, I'd get older and would not be as scared about everything, you know. I just thought, well, I was just getting, and I know I'm not old, sister, so she's already straightened me out about that. She said, you always talking about you're too old, you're just young, be quiet. So I'm trying, I got that, see, good reproof is good for you. I'll take that. But I'm saying, when I was younger at one time, I thought, well, finally I'm going to get to the place that's not going to worry me so much. And I just see how each day, it just seems like there's another thing. And I'm telling you, without trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his watch care in your life, you're miserable. You're miserable. You got peace in your life, then you're trusting in him. And if you think you're handling it, well, you're just, like the Bible says, you're ignorant. And you, if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Truth is not in him. I need the Lord. The good news is, this is the wisdom Solomon shared. You got the Lord. You have him not because you got him, but because he got you. He worked to you. If you know him, it's because he knew you first. If you love him, it's because he first loved you. If you've called out to him, it's because he first called down to you. And the Bible teaches that if he began a work in you, he's not going to stop midway. He's not like the contractors of this world who will say, start something and not get it finished. He's going, that which he began in you, he'll work until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful that we have such a Savior? You rest in him. You have peace in him. When you get a little trouble, a bump along the way, when it's your daughter that's going to teach a lesson over in Strasburg and you want to be there in the class just to make sure she gets everything just right. I'm telling you, that's a real thing that comes and you say, what can I do? I can't do a thing, but I can pray to an almighty God who will open up the door or shut the door. And whichever way he goes, if I'm trusting him, listen, if I'm trusting him and he shuts the door, I'll be just as happy with the door shut as I will with it open. God doesn't just always give us everything we want. A whole lot of things he said no to me. Thanks be to the Lord he did. At the time I didn't think that. But I know this, everything God's ever done in my life has always worked together for the good to them who love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Everything God does is good and right. And we got an almighty God. That's the wisdom that we need to live by. That's what we need to not only hear on Sunday, but take with you on Monday. And you reflect that.
and you live that before others. Listen, they may hear what you say, and if your walk doesn't reflect that, they'll say, well, that person doesn't, he talks one way and does another way. And all of us have enough of that, don't we? I have enough of that. I want it to be better, to where what I really say is seen more in my actions than what's coming out of my mouth. And that is to believe these things enough so it has an impact on your life. Now, how can you do that? Only in the Lord. If we ask Him, He'll give us faith. He'll give us strength. He'll increase our faith. He'll increase our strength. If you lack wisdom, you ever feel like, I just don't know what to do. I was this morning, where do I go? If any man lack wisdom, what does James say? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, because a man that's double-minded, he'll not receive anything. So how can we not be double-minded? Well, I got to trust in the Lord, and the Lord is my strength. That's what David said. He's the strength of my life. Okay. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright. Oh, I love that. Where do I go? Go to this book. There are men who want to take you out of this book. We're under attack today from men who would say, this book is out of date. This book you can't live by anymore. It might have been good for the past, but it's not up to time. And the ideas and thoughts contained in it are out of date. You're out of touch. If you follow this, you're going to be out of date, out of touch. Listen, there's a God who's given us absolute truth. That truth is contained in His Word, and you and I can live by His Word, count on His Word, depend on His Word. His Word won't fail, ever. And if you search other things that are contrary to His Word, no matter how good they might look, they're going to fall. There's going to be a fall. You can count on God's Word. You can build your life upon this rock. And when the storm comes, not if it comes, when it comes. When the rains fall and the wind blows. And that house that's built upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what that is the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, and upon Christ. And when your house is hit with the storms of life, that house is going to stand. But the man who built his house upon the sand. And what's the sand? It's any of the things that are contrary to God's Word. That which isn't of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when the storm comes, listen, both of them in the storm. And look, God's little children go through storms in this life. Sometimes they go through seemingly, and the Bible says, even more storms than the wicked of this world. We look sometimes, and David said, don't fret yourself about those evildoers that seem to get. We sing that hymn, tempted and tried, I'm oft made to wonder why it should be all the day long. When it seems like there are so many in this world that are just going their own way, and they seem to be getting along a whole lot better than I am. Sometimes it seems like there's no repercussion. Doesn't seem like there's going to be any. Oh, listen, don't be envious of them, because He said God will bring every work into judgment. A man soweth to the flesh, he'll of the flesh reap corruption. But if he soweth to the Spirit, he'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We're talking about sowing and reaping in the same place too. We're talking about right here in this world. Now there is an eternal judgment that those that do not belong to the Lord will face. And that's a judgment that when I think about it, it just causes me to be so very, very thankful that I have an advocate. Think about standing before Almighty God and having to give an answer for your actions in your life, and depending only and completely upon what you've done to either be received or rejected. I'm telling you, according to the Scripture, if that would be the case, we'd all be cast away. The good news is there was an advocate. You got a lawyer. You got an advocate. You got one who's your brother, who's also the son of the judge. who is our atonement. He is, and that word atonement, if you look at it, at-one-ment. He's the one we are in him. We're found in him. What we deserved, he paid for. And what he deserved, he gave to us. Listen, when it comes to that judgment, we will be judged based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, not our own. That's been removed from us. Our sins have been removed from us. How far? As far as the east is from the west. When will they be remembered against us? He said never to be remembered against us anymore. So that's why I'm not. Listen, I'd be afraid to die if I thought otherwise. And I'm not saying the old man is not, I get sick, I go to the doctor. I like living here in this world, but the old nature in me does that. But listen, I'm much more afraid of living than I am of dying many times in my life now that ought not be the case either, because if I can trust in the Lord to take me out of this world and be with him in glory, I surely ought to trust in him to take care of me while I'm living, shouldn't I? And shouldn't we? But sometimes it just seems to be easier for one than the other. You know why? Because sometimes while we're living, we think we can handle it. We know in death we can't handle a thing. I'm not going to be able to handle a thing. We know that. But sometimes when we're living, we think, well, I got sense enough to handle this on my own. And you know how you get a big mess? By thinking that. And trying to. We have to ask God for every bit of the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we need. I never get to the end of where I want to be. And that didn't even make that much sense. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. And he says, and the words of the wise are as goads. I want you to get this picture. When you hear these words, you know what they do? It's like if you take a goad, is like what you poke a cattle with in order to stir them up. You goad them. Just goad them. That's what a preacher's supposed to do. He's supposed to goad you. Not goad you to run you off, but he's supposed to stir you up. Now, how do you stir up the congregation? Some people claim that old Baptists just put everybody to sleep with grace. I want you to know grace don't put you to sleep. It wakes you up. Grace, if it's true grace. Now, I'm not talking about lazy, slothful grace. I'm talking about grace that tells you about the work of Almighty God, where you get excited about it and you can't help but love Him because of how much He loves you. And that's what grace does. You see, I want to live better, act better, talk better because of what He's done for me. That'll stir you up. Don't you need stirring up? You ever get asleep? You ever get a little slothful, a little lazy? I need a poke. I need some rebuke. I need some exhortation. I need some encouragement. I need a poke. I need to be goaded. I go to church to get goaded. I want to hear the preaching that goads me. I want to preach in a way to goad. Because the words of the wise are as goads. They don't just goad though. They're as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. That means the nails. You take the nails out of your house, what's going to happen? It's going to fall apart, isn't it? You take the words of the wise out of your life, I'm telling what your life's going to do. It's going to fall apart. So what does the Bible do? It stirs you up. The preaching of the gospel stirs you up and it holds you together. You see a church that gets away from the teachings of God's word, the nails are going to be gone. They're not going to be goaded. They're going to become slothful and they're going to fall apart. But if you hear the preaching and the teachings of God's word, the words of the wise in your family, in your personal life, in your family life, on the job, in your church, in your community, it will stir you up. That's the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's how it has an impact in this world. Because you take what the Lord has taught and you put it on and you wear it. That's what we mean when we sing the hymn, "Take the Name of Jesus with You." Fastened by the masters of assemblies. That's a strange word, but it's a word that's talking about the pastors. Pastors are under shepherds. They are overseers. They've been given the authority and the duty to feed God's little children. And they are to use the words of the wise. And they're fastened by the masters of assemblies as they teach the truth. Now, when is a pastor to be listened to? When he's teaching the truth. And when are you to stop listening to him? When he stops teaching the truth. When does he have authority? When he preaches the word. When does he stop having authority? When he stops preaching the word. When is he a good overseer? When he's preaching the truth. And when should he be put away? No matter who he is when he stops preaching the truth. So that's how important that the words of the wise are. But when the words of the wise are given, don't just say, well, that's what the preacher says, so it don't matter. Let me say that again. Don't just say, well, that's what the preacher thinks and it doesn't matter. It won't matter what the preacher thinks if what the preacher thinks isn't in line with God's word. If it's in line with God's word, then you hold it and heed it as if it came from the Lord. Samuel said, listen, Samuel, he said, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. And when a minister is preaching the truth by inspiration, as the Lord moves him, he's not inspired, but as the Lord blesses him to preach and he gives the truth, you and I are duty bound to heed the things that are said because it's come from the Lord. Now, if he comes with his opinion, his ideas, and his thoughts, and they're contrary to God's word, they're not to be heeded, no matter how much of a benefit he's been to you in the past. That makes sense? By the masters of assemblies, and I'm going to close with this because I don't want to leave this part. And get this, though. They are not to be given glory because all of the words of the wise that are come as goads and their nails are given from one shepherd. Hear that. They're given from one shepherd. There's not a bunch of shepherds. They're under shepherds, but there's only one chief shepherd. Isn't that good? There's not place for three tabernacles. There's not place to give glory to anyone. There's not place except the Lord. We're to give all the glory and the praise unto the Lord. Y'all have been very, very charitable and patient and listening this morning. I pray the Lord blesses us with some thoughts that will be beneficial to us. If he does, we give him the glory and the honor and the praise for that. And when you have a mind to pray, please remember me. God bless you. Thank you so much.